This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians, the second chapter and the 10th verse. Ephesians, the second chapter and the 10th verse. And we are in our series entitled Be Free. In our series entitled Be Free. For today's subtopic, I want you to pay close attention. I want you to pay close attention. I want to talk to you today from the subject of walking in your God-given authority. Walking in your God-given authority. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared, what class? Ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And so from the beginning, God had planned for you to live an amazing life in spite of any challenges, in spite of any obstacles, in spite of whatever you go through. God planned for you to live an amazing life. Well, how is that, Pastor, with the struggles and the challenges and things that we go through? Through his power that was made available to us because of what Jesus did on the cross, all right? And you've got to understand that when you receive Jesus, you receive all of who he is and everything that comes with him. And there is power that, watch this, has already been proven because of what Jesus did on the cross that is available to you, so that way you can walk through life not being the victim, but being the victor. You got it? Not being beneath, but being above. Not being the tail, but being the head. And to the degree that you walk by faith and receive that by faith, you will live a victorious life. Jesus was all about this. When Jesus first started his ministry, of course, Jesus started his ministry when he was 30 years old, and then he was here until he went to heaven at 33 and a half. But from the beginning, Matthew 10 and 1 says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits. How many of you got power over unclean spirits? Like we have power over the devil. We don't have to be scared of the devil or demons or unclean spirits, all right? To cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And so that was very important to Jesus at the beginning, but you'll also see all through his ministry it was very important to him, and then even at the end. Some of the very last words that Jesus had to do with this. I told you, he was here for 33 and a half years. He walked this earth. He did ministry. And then he goes and he dies on the cross so he could pay for your sins, and he paid for my sins. 3 days, and he rose up with all power. You got it? And then he rises up with all power, and then he hangs around on earth for about 40 days. You got it? Walking through walls, startling people. No, actually, he did. But anyways, and then he had what was called the Great Ascension, where he would, you know, go to the top of the Mount of Olives, and he was to ascend to heaven. And then, when he ascended to heaven, he said, the next time you see me, I'll be coming back, which we know is the second coming of Christ, which the Bible says no man knows the time or the hour where the Son of Man shall return. But that actually means, since we don't know, it could be today. Isn't that right? And so, he's at the Mount of Olives, and just to kind of help you, if you look at a map and try to figure that out, that would be considered Old Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives is at the top. The Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, was at the bottom. But even as some of his very last words before he ascended, we find him in Acts, the first chapter and the 8th verse. I love this. He says, but you shall receive what class? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world. And so Jesus, was leaving. When his disciples realized that he was leaving, they were upset. They're like, man, we've been walking with you. This thing is working. They thought that he was going to build his kingdom here on the earth, right? Like, they did not want him to leave. And so he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another another comforter, talking about Holy Spirit. And he said, not only is Holy Spirit going to be with you, you got to walk alongside of you, but he's also going to be in you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to strengthen you. When you need correction, he'll correct you or convict you. Like you're going to have everything you need to live victorious on this earth until I get back. You got it? And so that is God's will for your life. It is God's will for your life to walk in freedom, not in some areas of your life, but in every area of your life. And you got to believe that that's possible. It is his will for your life that your marriage is truly made whole. Can I get up? It is his will for your life that family relationships are truly made whole. Can I get up? It is his will that your finances are truly made whole. Can I get up? It is his will that your health is fully restored and made whole. Can I get a? And this all happens, watch this, through his power that's at work in your life and in my life. All right? Paul was talking to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You got it? When you come into our church, you got it? You listen, it's wonderful that they're singing, but there should be some anointing along with the singing. It's wonderful that I'm teaching a lesson, but there should be some anointing that comes along with that. And it is the anointing that makes the difference in your life, all right? It is that power that makes you walk out of here with more joy than when you came in. It is that power that calls a depressing spirit to leave. You got it? It is that power that gives you the answer to the question that you had. It is that power that makes crooked places straight in your life. He said, so we didn't come with persuasive words of human wisdom. He said, but we came in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Verse 5, he says that your faith, watch this, should not be in the wisdom of men, but should be where, class? In the power of God. And so I try my best to teach the very best lesson to you I can every Sunday. I pray, I prepare, I do everything that I'm supposed to, on my part. But most importantly, I believe that when I stand up, that the Holy Spirit is going to communicate what I'm going to teach to you in a way that it's going to meet your spiritual needs, you got it? In a way that it's going to give you comfort, in a way that's going to give you hope, in a way that's going to give you faith, in a way that's going to give you joy, and ultimately in a way that it's going to cause a miracle to show up in your situation. That's what the power of God is supposed to do. I don't want you to say, how great is our pastor? I want you to say, how great is our God? When something good happens to you, and don't get me wrong, God uses people and we honor them for that, but you got to make sure that the glory goes to God. If somebody prays for you and you get healed, thank God for the vessel that he used, but all glory goes to God. If somebody talks to you and you get deliverance in an area, thank God for the vessel he uses. We honor the vessel, but man, we give all glory to God for it. If it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, how many know there's no telling where we would be in this place? That's a good place to clap right there. And so you got to get that. And I need to help my members who maybe are don't exert the way some of us do. You got it? Or don't get excited the way some of us do. You got to understand, we receive this power by faith. Okay, it's not a feeling. It is a thing of faith. All right, come here, Fonz. So if Fonz comes to me and says, "Hey, Pastor, I'm dealing with something. I want you to pray for me." All right, I can go and say, "Father, I thank you for my brother right now, and I just declare, healing virtue flowing through his body in Jesus' name." And Father, we set our faith together because of what Jesus did on Calvary, and we declare that he is healed and whole in Jesus' name. All right, now go ahead, Fonz, take your seat. So at that moment, he receives by faith the healing power of Jesus, that at that moment, it is now flowing through his body. You got it, and it is healing him right now, right? Right. Now watch this. Now, I could do this. Come here, Fonz. You got it? I could do this. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name, get in him, Jesus, get in him, God, heal him, do something to him, Lord, power, wonder working power, you got it? He said he about to go home. But if we're not careful, you got it, we'll think the second way is, watch this, will give us more effect than the first way. Let me help you. I could say, I need three people to come up here and I need you to pray. Just pray for 2 minutes. And somebody comes up here and they pray fervently. You know, okay, that was good. And then the next person, they come, and I mean, they really pray for us. Father, we, you know, and they're like, in the name of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you know, the keyboard. And so now you all standing up, ah, you know, ain't he all right? You know, it just, you know, and watch this. And but watch it. If the third person just gets up and says, Father, we thank you that we have power over the devil. And we declare in the name of Jesus. If you're not careful, you'll think the third person has no power because they didn't quite exert themselves like the first person or the second person. It has absolutely nothing to do with this. The power is in the word. And to the degree I open my mouth and just declare the word, it doesn't matter how I release it as long as it's by faith. Does that make sense? That's it. All right. So when you come, I normally give you something. So come find us. Give him $20. Y'all give him a big hand. All right. There you go, buddy. All right. Well, he did come twice, so I guess we should give him $220. All right. There you go, man. All right. Okay. Did y'all get that? All right. And I'm not picking when I'm doing that, but what I'm saying is there are people who love God, but that's just not, they didn't grow up maybe in a church like we did, and you know, and those kind of things, and so if they're not careful, they'll think, well, I don't have power like somebody else. Yes, you do, because it's always by faith. Does that make sense? All right. And so in the foyer, you see, you know, of course, our vision is pointing you to Christ so you can live a better life. In the in the foyer, we have the steps for you to get to that. We want you to know God. We want you to find freedom. We want you to discover your purpose. We want you to make a difference in life. Like that's God's plan for your life. And so we can give you every step. We can give you every plan. You got it. But what happens is it will not work without God's power in your life, because God's power is what makes the difference. Does that make sense? Ephesians 1 and 17, Paul begins to speak to that when he talks to the church at Ephesus. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we need that in today's time. He says, so you may what? Know him better. Sounds like knowing God. You got it. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That's the only way you're going to find freedom, if the Holy Spirit gets in you, watch it, and starts revealing things to you and helping you and leading you. He says, in order that you may know the hope which, watch this, he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, which is the saints, me and you, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Believing is what makes the difference. That, watch this, that power is the same. Somebody say same. Same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And so I'm telling you, the power is available to me. It's available to you in every area of our lives, to the degree that we release faith and believe that we are walking in it because Jesus is already on the inside. You got it. So it's nothing I have to do. It's something I already have because Jesus is on the inside of me. Does that make sense? All right. So it takes faith. It takes faith. Look at Luke, the 18th chapter and the 35th verse. Very familiar passage of scripture. This is talking about blind Bartimaeus. Most of you all maybe have read this, but I'm going to read it in its entirety. It's not a very long story, but I want to make sure we all get to the same place. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder. See, the problem was they weren't blind, right? He says, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. And the man came near Jesus. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And watch this next word. And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praise God too. Let me help you. When you begin to understand the power of God that is already made available to you in every area of your life, it's not something that you have to wait for next week, next month, or next year. His power is made available to you right now. Watch this. And to the degree that you receive it by faith, instantly we can see God do amazing things. But you have to receive, you watch this, you have to release your faith for instantly. Does that make sense? That he's doing it instantly. Now, it doesn't matter if I see it in the natural or don't see it in the natural. Has nothing to do with that. I release my faith that very moment, and I believe the moment I release my faith, there are some things that are happening in the spirit realm, you got it, that are going to show up in the natural realm in my life, that God is going to work a miracle, that God is going to do something supernatural, that I'm declaring that, man, this is my week. Like I'm believing that God is going to do it this week, not next week, but this is my week. I got enough faith because I believe that he is a big God that can do anything but fail. So I don't need to give God some time. I'm receiving my increase this week. I'm receiving my healing this week. I'm receiving restoration this week. I'm receiving deliverance this week. Somebody say this week. So I'm believing for it this week. All right. Now, when believing for a miracle, I'm going to give you a few simple points when believing for a miracle. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right. So when we're believing for a miracle, everybody say number one. When believing for a miracle, number one, be passionate. When believing for a miracle, be passionate. I mean, when Bartimaeus found out that Jesus was there, he jumped up. You got it? He couldn't see, but he could walk. You understand what I'm saying? And he jumped up. He's like, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. You got it? He had zero pride. And sometimes pride can keep you from God doing the supernatural in your life. Come on, somebody. You know, pastor says, hey, you know, I don't normally call people out, but let's say the Spirit of God says, hey, there's somebody dealing, you know, with a migraine headache, you know, but you're there and you know it's you, but man, I don't want to go to the front. Why? Pride. Like, God just came and visited you today, and all you got to do is just walk up and say, hey, pastor, that's me. And then you come. You don't worry about everybody. It's a bunch of people. It's just you and Jesus right now. Right now, you've been praying for your healing. Hello, somebody. And God's coming to do it so you can have zero pride. So blind Bartimaeus didn't worry about, they were telling him to be quiet and all that kind of stuff. He was like, listen, you don't understand what I'm going through. You got it? And so I'm not going to try to make sure that I please you. Right now, this is a moment between me and Jesus, and I'm trying to get what I need. And when you get to the point where you don't care what anybody feels about you, when you don't care what other people are saying, and you got your mind made up and your heart fixed that this week me and Jesus going to work this thing out, and I'm going to get my miracle this week. I'm going to get the supernatural this week. The thing I've been believing for and praying for and got seed on it is coming this week. You got it? So you have to be passionate. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with what? All your heart. And so when I seek God, I'm not just saying, well, yeah, you know, I'm gonna see what the Lord might do. No. I am in faith. Like, I am in faith that this is the day. Like, I'm in faith that this is the week. I'm in faith that, watch this, his power is resting on me regardless if I feel his power or I don't, because it's not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of my faith. Does that make sense? So be passionate. Be passionate. All right. Everybody say number two. Number two, be persistent. Number two, be persistent. You notice he kept shouting. You got it. He didn't stop because, you know, what somebody said and those kind of things. If we're not careful, you will be in faith and you'll be believing for something. And we were at church and you know, and it jumped in your spirit this week. And so you're taking that with you and you leave church. Man, this is the week. This is the week tonight. This is the week. This is the week. And then when you walk into your job in the morning, you say, this is the week. And they start laughing at you. And if you're not careful, you start backing up in faith. You got it. But you got to learn how to be persistent. But I don't even like to call him blind Bartimaeus because he ain't blind no more. You got it? But Bartimaeus, he wasn't worried about how anybody felt about him. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was the answer. And if I can just get the Jesus, I'm going to get everything that I need, which teaches us that we have to keep going in spite of. We got to keep going in spite of what it looks like. We've got to keep going in spite of what it feels like. We've got to keep going in spite of our emotions getting the best of us. We got to keep going in spite of anything that happens. We have to learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking. You got to learn that you are not the victim, you are the victor. You got it? You are not the tail, but you are the head. You got it? And so you got to walk in your victory. You got it? You got I've given you this before. Let's say that manifestation for what you're believing for is that keyboard. If you're not careful, you say, oh, yeah, I'm walking to my victory. It's Monday, I'm walking to it. It's Tuesday, I'm walking to it. I'm getting a little bit closer. No, no, no. You have the wrong revelation, because Jesus says it is finished means that it is done. Everything he did on the cross is already done. Your healing, your joy, your peace, your finances, your increase is already done. So I'm not walking to my victory. Every step I take, I'm walking in my victory, declaring that it is already done in my life. Does that make sense? All right, Luke 18, verse 1. Let's talk about being persistent. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always, not sometimes, always pray and not give up. He says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. That's pretty bad condition. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with plea, grant me justice against my adversaries. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said, and will not, I love this part, God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and they get it how often? Quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, he's going to find it at Without Limits Christian Center. Yeah, and that's my job. I'm your faith coach. I'm your cut man. You got it? It's my job every time you come in here to keep filling you up with faith, to keep giving you the word of faith. So when you go out there, you don't have your head hung down. You're talking negative. I don't know how I'm going to make it. No, no, no. I don't know all them scriptures passing, though, but I know if I stay in the fight, I'm going to win. I know if I keep swinging, I'm going to hit something. I know that I've got a power on the inside of me because I received Jesus. I can't break all this stuff down like he does. But what I do know is going to work for me, because it's enough. Because I do know that the same power that God raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of me. And if it's good enough to raise Jesus, it's good enough to raise up my situation. And number three is be precise, be precise. So Jesus calls for him. He comes to him. Jesus says to him, what do you want? He was just plain and simple, I want to see. You got it? Like, he wasn't trying to get theological and those kind of things. He was just like, no, I want to see. You remember the guy at the pool of Bethesda that had the five porches, and, you know, the angel would come and he'd stir it one time a year, you know, and then people, if they were close to it, they'd get in, you know, and that person would get healed. I think the first person that got there. And so anyways, Jesus shows up to the pool of Bethesda one day. He sees this guy on one of the porches and he asks him a question. He says, will thou be made whole? And immediately the guy comes with excuses. Well, see, Jesus, I would be made whole, but every time the angel comes and stirs up the water, you know, auntie, she had to go to the grocery store, and so she wasn't here to help me down. Jesus didn't ask any of that. You got, he didn't ask, why haven't you been healed? He didn't even ask what your situation is. He just says, will thou be made whole? And you got to get to a point that when God starts speaking to you, that you're not going, like my grandmother says, all the way around the elbow to get to the thumb. You got it? Like, you come to him. The Bible says you ought to come boldly before the throne of grace. I don't have problems asking God for big stuff because he's a big God. I don't have problems dreaming big because I serve a big God. And so you got to understand, you don't serve a God, you know, who's a million miles away in some other galaxy. You got it. But you serve a God who is right here with you. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is a Lord that is ever present. He's with you everywhere you go, and makes a commitment that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's always going to be with you. In our lives, there are times where we will feel lonely. I'm not making negative situations. That's just the truth, all right? But you have to understand, in your loneliest moment, God is with you. He is right there in your loneliest moment, in the moment you feel like you're going to break, in the moment you feel like you can't take it anymore, in the moment you feel like, man, this is just too much. You got, if you can just learn how to hold on just a little bit longer, because he is right there with you, intervening for you, and he's going to cause a breakthrough to come through in your life. You just got to hold on just a little bit longer. Everybody say number four. Number four is be positive. Be positive. And the reason I say he was positive, he never gave up. He didn't care what anybody said. You got it? He just kept going. And that's what you have to do. You have to keep going. You can never give up. Mark the 11th chapter, the 24th verse. You all know this very well. It says, therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when ye pray and not if ye pray, because God fully expects us to pray, because we just read, he says that we should always pray and not faint, right? He says, when you pray, watch this, believe that you receive, and what's going to happen? You should have it, right? So when I pray, the only criteria that I have to have is that it has to be in the Word of God, all right? And I have to release faith. Those are the only two criteria. It has to be in the Word of God, and I have to release faith. Well, you say, well, Pastor, you got to speak it out. Well, yeah, because faith is released by the words of your mouth. So it's really synonymous. You got it? So I have to speak it out in faith. And so it doesn't matter the situation. When I go to God, and I find a promise in the Word, and I begin to go to Him in prayer, watch this. The moment that I prayed, I believe that I received that it's already done. I don't need to go and ask God again for it. I just thank God in advance that it's already done. So I ask him on Monday afternoon. I'm not asking him again. He already, look, in his word, he already says he's going to do it. So I just, Father, I thank you for my victory in that situation. Tuesday, I hadn't showed up. Father, I thank you for my victory in Jesus' name. Wednesday, I hadn't showed up. I thank you for, watch this. When walking by faith, if you're willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. But you got to be willing to wait forever. Does that make sense? And my last point, number 5, be praiseful. Be praiseful. He showed gratitude by not just walking off, but praising God, which got contagious because the other people started praising God too. All right. You remember how the 10 lepers and Jesus prayed for them, and, you know, they all got healed. He said, go show yourself to the priest. The Bible says as they went, they were healed. It shows faith. Like, there's some steps I need to take. There's something I need to do. So as they went, they were healed. And it was funny. One of them came back and Jesus said, I know I healed more than just one of you all. You got it. There was no gratitude. But when you begin to praise God for the things that he's done in your life, you got it. You show gratitude. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about what? So anything is anything. So he said, don't worry about stuff. You got it. You know, when I was a little kid, they used to have these shirts with a big yellow smiley face. And it says, don't worry, be happy. Any of y'all remember that? Yeah, some of y'all old enough to remember that, right? And so he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, I mean absolutely everything, even the things that seem small. He says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then he goes on to say, and the peace of God, let's go home court, that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So he says, listen, no matter what comes or no matter what goes, always bring it to God. And the moment you bring it to God, watch this, in faith, God's peace will begin to overshadow you. Where when you go to bed, even if it hasn't happened yet, you won't have sleepless nights. You won't be worried. You won't be in fear. You won't be afraid. God's power is supposed to be at work in our lives so we never fear. You got it? I got a question for you, and I'm going to do this part, then I'm going to let our people getting baptized go, but not yet. I'm pretty soon, all right? And this might be a tough question, all right? And it's not a mean question, but it might be a tough question. When I was studying, the Lord gave this to me. He said, ask him, he said, what have you given up on? Is it a dream that you've given up on? Is it a business? Is it a child? Is it a healthy goal for your life? Is it your marriage? Is it financial success? Like what is it that you've given up on? And I'm here to tell you, you got to take whatever goal, whatever dream, whatever that is, and you got to get back and start being passionate about it and being precise about it and being persistent about it. You got it? Y'all remember that Jesus had a real good friend named Lazarus who got sick? And Lazarus' family called for Jesus. They sent and said, tell Jesus Lazarus sick. And they figured surely Jesus is going to come right away because that's one of Jesus' closest friends, right? And Jesus didn't come right away. Sometimes God doesn't do what we think he ought to do, or he doesn't do it how we think he ought to do it. Because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not ours. So my job is not to try to figure God out. My job is to always thank God, always praise God, and always stay in faith. There's different times in my life I've dealt with challenges and I got in faith and it seemed like, boom, it was gone right away. And then there's times in my life it seemed like there was challenge. It was this month. And then there was another month. And then there was another month. You got it. And like he told Paul, if you're still in it, know I'm with you and know that my grace is sufficient. You're not in something. If you're in something and it's been a while, it doesn't mean that you are not in faith. It doesn't mean that you don't have any power. You understand what I'm saying? And you, because the enemy will try to beat you up and make you think that way. I can't, I think I'm a pretty decent pastor, but I can't answer all these questions. I don't know why sometimes it seems like, man, it just happens. It doesn't matter. The whole goal is that no matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter how, if it's quick or if it's long, that I choose to trust God in spite of everything. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is my beginning, he is my middle, he's my end. And I'm not going to listen to anything the devil says. I'm going to trust God in spite of. So Jesus shows up, and by the time Jesus shows up, Lazarus is dead. Been in the tomb, already wrapped up, you got it. By now he's stinking, and the family was mad at Jesus. They were offended that Jesus didn't come. They had gotten bitter. How did you know it? Because they came to him, and the two sisters said, if you would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Now, I'm going to know it wasn't Jesus' fault that Lazarus died. And you can't become bitter because bitter people blame you for their problems. So don't get bitter. Stay in faith. I want to pray in a minute, so this is what I want to do. Listen, only if you need to move, all right? I normally don't do this, but we kind of have to do this. So if you are getting baptized or you're helping with the baptism, you can go ahead at this time and be dismissed. But I want everyone else to bow your head, to close your eyes. I want you to stay focused in the Spirit because I need to pray for you. And we're going to believe that the power of God is about to show up in your life. We're believing the power of God is about to show up in your life. So Jesus said something very important. My head's bowed and eyes are closed. He says to Mary and Martha, he says, show me where you laid him. And they couldn't believe that. Why would Jesus do that? He knows he's dead. He knows he's gone. You know, we know he's going to be raised again in the second coming. He said, no. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Not in the second coming, but right now. And I believe that God wants to resurrect some things in your life. What was Jesus asking them to do? He was asking them to take the power of God to the place in their life where they stopped believing. And that's what I want you to do. If that's you, take the power of God to the place in your life where you stopped believing. Or maybe take the power of God to the place in your life where that person hurt you and it still bothers you. Or maybe take the power of God to the place in your life where you got upset with God over something that happened that honestly wasn't God's fault. And it's been hard for you to shake that so you can really deepen your relationship with God. And I want you to allow him to heal you so you can be free. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, I'm going to pray for you. And after I pray for you, what we're going to do is we're going to pray what we would call the sinner's prayer. So if you're in the room and you're not saved and need to be saved, we're going to pray it together as a family. If you need to rededicate your life, we're going to pray it together as a family. If you're a Christian and just need to repent, we're going to pray it together as a family. If you want to join our church, you got it. We have these connection cards. If you're in the room, they're located in the seat pocket in front of you. You can grab it. And if you get saved today, check the box. If you rededicate your life, check the box. If you're going to join the church, just check the box. Pastor, what do I do with this card? Well, if you're a first-time friend, you take it to the first-time friend's table. If you're not a first-time friend, then on your way out, what you need to do is ushers will be holding offering buckets. You can just drop it in. So let's pray. Father, I come to you in the magnificent name of Christ Jesus. And I thank you for every person that's in this room and online. And I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that is not like God that tries to attack the people of God. Satan, the Lord rebuke you right now at the authority of the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that even now you are causing every storm to be still in their life. I thank you even now you are making crooked places straight in their life. I thank you even now you are bringing them the peace that they need and the joy that they need and the prosperity that they need and the wisdom that they need and the strength that they need and the grace that they need for the days ahead. And so, Father, I thank you that you are opening up the path and you are making it straight for them, that you're causing favor to abound in their lives in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I thank you that this week supernatural things are happening. I thank you that this week we experience your power in our lives in ways that we've never experienced it before. I thank you that this week we're going to see some miracles show up in our lives. Not next week, not the week after, and we're thankful for those, but Father, our faith is this week. We believe, we receive right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I want everyone in this room and online to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over?